WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? So glad that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. That's right, it is hump day. It is hump day. This week is already flying by, and boy, oh boy, do we have a show in store for you. In just a moment, I will be chatting with Jarrett Bell, USA Today NFL columnist, as he sort of puts a bow on the NFL draft for us. We'll talk about the Lions draft and what grade he would give the Detroit Lions. He'll also give his thoughts on who had the best draft, who had the worst draft. We'll talk a little Johnny football. And also, we'll kind of wrap up this whole Donald Sterling conversation as Magic Johnson responded yesterday to Donald Sterling's comments as Donald Sterling criticized Magic's impact and sort of philanthropy work that he does in the African-American community, having some strong thoughts on that, which we addressed during yesterday's show. But, you know, it's pretty cool because Jarrett actually went to school with Magic while here at Michigan State University. They were actually classmates. And Jarrett has some thoughts on Donald Sterling's comments as he addressed Magic. So we'll talk about it all with Jarrett Bell. You don't want to miss that. That'll be coming around on the 1:15 hour. And also, it's Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday here on Current Sports, we like to call this our Barbershop Wednesday. And you know what that means, right? You know, every time when you go in and try to get a fresh cut at the barbershop, everybody, it seems as though everybody, at least at my barbershop, everybody is a sports expert. Everybody has an opinion on sports. Everybody has a different take and a different view on it. And it's fun. It's fun to debate all the time. And, you know, me being in the profession that I am now in the sports media, I always get questions every single time I hit the barbershop. And, you know, we try to bring that feel each and every Wednesday here on the show. And we try to debate on a certain topic that's hot right now, whether it concerns Michigan sports or beyond. And today we're going to dive into an interesting topic that we've kind of, you know, hit on time and time again here on Current Sports. But this is starting to become sort of real in a way. If you don't know, of course, Big Ten meetings are happening right now in Chicago, Illinois. And, you know, there are a lot of reporters out there reporting on it. And it was released yesterday that Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney proposed a $2,000 stipend on top of scholarships to help college athletes pay fully for school in 2011. Now, that was back in 2011, and the whole issue of cost of attendance, quote-unquote cost of attendance discussion continues in a lot of earnest yesterday. It was a focal point of the annual spring meetings at the league headquarters yesterday, and, you know, it was brought back up on whether or not a stipend should be enforced to student-athletes to help them fully pay for school. An interesting topic. Again, we've talked about college athletes sort of getting paid or quote-unquote or getting some type of allowance in a way to help pay for things such as food and rent if they live off campus and so on and so forth, going beyond just their annual tuition getting paid through that scholarship, eventually boiling down to the discussion on whether or not should college athletes get paid. Now, Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney, he proposed this, but it was actually shot down when he first proposed it. But those talks have certainly come back to the surface of the water now. And, you know, it's definitely a conversation that it was certainly talked about in depth yesterday. From Penn State Athletic Director Dave Joyner, Joe Rexroll wrote a great piece in the Lansing State Journal about it. And Penn State AD Dave Joyner had this to say, quote, "That's the way the world works. The world works, I guess. How long did it take us to get Obamacare? No judgment intended. I'm just saying it's a long time. I'm not saying this is exactly as complex as that, but it's pretty complex," end quote. Now, the reason why it's so complex, folks, is due to the fact that cost of attendance can vary from institution to institution. The cost of attendance here at Michigan State may not be the same as that as Penn State, and Penn State's may not be the same as that as Nebraska. So it varies across the board. So, you know, it's just an issue on whether or not a college athlete, a college student athlete here at a Big Ten university like Michigan State has enough funds to get by, or are they just getting by? Is the reason why this stipend has certainly been brought up. And we've talked to individuals like Greg Kelser, a former Spartan basketball great, who says that, yeah, he does believe that there should be some sort of stipend given to college athletes because it's hard to get by. So it's interesting take on it. That's our Barbershop Wednesday topic. We're encouraging you to call in and give your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be diving into that discussion during the second segment of our show. But without further ado, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 14th, 2014. Well, I tell you what, I almost threw a party yesterday after hearing this. We actually got word of it on yesterday's show around the 1:20, 1:30 mark. And the Detroit Pistons have signed Stan Van Gundy, it's official right now, to a contract to make him their new coach and president of basketball operations. Now, the team is expected to announce the deal later on and hold a news conference on Thursday. Now, sources said on Tuesday night that Van Gundy and the Pistons have verbally agreed to a 5-year pact worth an estimated $35 million with an official announcement, which was expected today, and we got that word today just a few hours ago. Now, despite strong interest from the Golden State Warriors, who sources say had established Van Gundy as their top target to succeed ousted Mark Jackson, Detroit managed to trump Van Gundy's hometown team with the offer of personnel control on top of coaching duties. How about that? So Van Gundy turns down a very sexy job in the Golden State Warriors. I feel as though the Warriors are just a few pieces away from becoming a legitimate championship contender. He decides to turn down that job and come over here to D-Town to coach the Pistons and become the head of personnel when it comes to all basketball operations. Wow. Thank you, Stan Van. Hopefully he's the savior and can get this team back on track. He certainly has a lot of work to do, but this certainly is a step in the right direction. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. What do you think of Stan Van Gundy coming to the Pistons? Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. I love the move. I think Stan Van Gundy has one outstanding track record when it comes to success in the National Basketball Association. He's an outstanding basketball mind. I'm elated about it. I want to get your thoughts on if you are too. 517-355-9527. All right, folks, and how about this? Miguel Cabrera went on to hit a 2-out, 3-run home run, and Victor Martinez followed with a solo home run that reached Utah Street as the Tigers beat the Orioles 4-1 on Tuesday night at Oriole Park in Camden Yards. It was the 7th consecutive road win for the Tigers. Martinez, again, hit his homer way out to Utah Street. The only other Tiger to hit a home run to Utah Street was Mickey Templeton on April 20th, 1992. How about that? Now, it was the first back-to-back home run combination since Martinez and Omar Infante hit consecutive homers back on September 24th, 2013 at Minnesota. Joe Nathan allowed one hit in the ninth and earned his ninth save for the Tigers. The Tigers and Orioles are in action right now, concluding the three-game series. We'll give you a score update on that one in just a sec. I believe the first pitch was thrown at 12:35 p.m. All right, an outgoing Michigan State QB Andrew Maxwell has a tryout with the San Diego Chargers, and former Spartan offensive guard Blake Treadwell will get a tryout with the Oakland Raiders. Now, the news on the former Michigan State team captains was released by Michigan State via the football program's Twitter account on Monday night. Backup linebacker Kyle Ellsworth also tweeted on Monday that he has a tryout with the Washington Redskins. So there are a lot of tryouts, even though many of them, really the only official signee throughout the NFL draft came from Darquez Denard, but there are other Spartans who signed free agent deals after the draft, and some of those include middle linebacker Max Bulla. He goes to the Houston Texans. Safety Isaiah Lewis goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Wide receiver Benny Fowler goes to the Denver Broncos. Defensive end Tyler Hoover with the Indianapolis Colts. Denicos Allen, Carolina Panthers. Denicos an outstanding linebacker. Offensive lineman / defensive lineman Mekhijah Reynolds, New Orleans Saints. Offensive guard Dan France also went to the Cincinnati Bengals. And offensive tackle Fofanoti, he signed with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm trying to pull some strings here and get Darquez Denard on the show, hopefully next week, and also Benny. I'm in talks with both of them right now, trying to get them on the show next week. Hopefully we can get them on and get their thoughts on NFL draft. They are bombarded right now with interview requests, so we'll keep you updated if we snag one of those two. Should be a great show to try to pick their minds about that. All right, Jim Delaney, folks. Jim Delaney proposed a $2,000 cost of attendance stipend for student athletes in 2011, and the subject has been tossed around by Big Ten ADs at the conference's annual spring meetings. Again, this is our Barbershop Wednesday topic. Now, the proposal is estimated to cost each school anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million annually, something schools with the resources of the Big Ten should be able to handle. Now, if approved, the proposal would take time to implement, but Big Ten ADs seem confident. Now, again, this is from Dave Joyner. He said, quote, "How long did it take us to get Obamacare? No judgment intended. I'm just saying it's a long time. I'm not saying this is exactly as complex as that, but it's pretty complex." What do you think about a possible $2,000 stipend for cost of attendance for student athletes? What do you think about that? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, that is our Barbershop Wednesday topic. We are asking and encouraging all of you to weigh in on that. And folks, I'm excited about this. It is one of my favorite high school sports events to cover. I love it. The Diamond Classic, folks, the 53rd annual Dean Shipley Capital Diamond Classic Field was announced yesterday, with Portland and Eden Rapids taking the top seeds. How about that? Now, the tournament starts Monday at Kircher Municipal Park, with quarterfinals to follow next Wednesday and Thursday at Kircher and Cooley Law School Stadium. The semifinals will be held June 2nd, with the championship round set for June 3rd. Other schools included in the field include Grand Ledge and East Lansing from the CAAC Blue, Hazlitt, St. John's, and DeWitt from the CAAC Red, and Potterville from the CMAC Conference. Now, Lansing Catholic and Charlotte round out the field. Lansing Catholic, of course, your last year's winner. And if you look at the years, you know, before last year when Lansing Catholic took the crown, a great season for them. But before then, you have Grand Ledge just rattling off wins after win after win. Pat O'Keefe is certainly one unbelievable talent, one of the best coaches in this area. He has certainly dominated time and time again, but it's great. I love the Diamond Classic. I mean, these kids go all out. It's great to see them down there, you know, doing their thing at Kircher Municipal Park. A great field. A lot of people come out. We'll keep you covered, and you'll get to see exclusive highlights from the Diamond Classic as it begins next week on Current Sports TV. You do not want to miss that, folks. And how about that? Looking to fill the void in future football schedules left by Notre Dame, the MSU Athletic Department looked west for their replacement. Who is it, you ask? Arizona State. Yes, the Spartans and Sun Devils will play a home-and-home series in 2018 and 2019. MSU will visit Sun Devil Stadium on September 8th, 2018, and host ASU in East Lansing on September 14, 2019. Now, the schools have met only twice all time, a home-and-home in 1985 and 86, with the home team winning both matchups. That is certainly a great matchup there. Can't wait for that one. That should be pretty fun. All right, and Magic Johnson, folks. NBA legend Magic Johnson has fired back at Donald Sterling one day after disgraced Clippers owner attacked him for being HIV positive and accused him of not supporting the African-American community during a nationally televised interview. Magic went on to say, quote, "I just feel sorry for him. I really do. It's sad. The problem is he is living in the Stone Ages. He can't make those comments about African-Americans or Latinos. He just can't do it." Johnson went on to say further, "We've committed thousands and thousands of jobs in urban America. Those people can walk to their jobs and take care of their families because of Starbucks, 24-hour fitness, and on the Magic Johnson Theaters. I continue to do good work in urban America, and I'm devoted. My whole life is devoted to urban America. I just wish he knew the facts when he was talking. But he's a man who's upset, and he's reaching. He's reaching. He's trying to find something that he can grab onto, help him save his team. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." End quote. That is a direct quote from Magic Johnson as he sat down with Anderson Cooper yesterday. Just disturbing stuff. Magic took the high road, and definitely I was very pleased with his remarks. But I tell you, it's certainly been a talk of the town. And Jarrett Bell, again, he'll be joining us in just a sec to talk about the NFL draft. He has some thoughts on it. Him and Magic actually went to school, and he also has some thoughts on this whole Donald Sterling Magic Johnson fiasco. All right, the NBA playoffs Tuesday night, folks. Two game fives of the NBA playoffs took place yesterday. In the first game, the Washington Wizards beat the Indiana Pacers 102-79 to avoid elimination, being down 3-1. They made the series 3-2 from the play of Marcin Gortat. He was unbelievable last night. He had 31 points, 16 rebounds, also tacked on 2 assists, a steal, and a block. He was unstoppable in the second game. How about this game? A lot of controversy surrounded by this game as well. The Oklahoma Thunder came back from a 13-point lead to beat the Clips 105-104 at home. Russell Westbrook, he led all scores with 38 points, and Kevin Durant added 27 of his own. There was a controversial play at the end as Reggie Jackson went to the hole on a fast break layup. Matt Barnes reached in. It looked to be a foul. No foul was called, and the ball was actually caught out of bounds on Matt Barnes. Controversial call, to say the least. The talk of the town in the NBA world. And, man, it was a great game, though. Great game. The Thunder still finding ways to win. And how about this? The NHL playoffs, a quick Tuesday night update for you all. The New York Rangers beat the odds and came back to win the series against the Pittsburgh Penguins 2-1 after being down 3-1 in the series. In the Western Conference, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Minnesota Wild 2-1 to win the final game and clinch the series 4-2 for tonight. The defending champion, Boston Bruins, take on the Montreal Canadiens in a crucial Game 7. 7 p.m. puck drop for that one, while the Anaheim Ducks take on the Los Angeles Kings tonight at 9:30 in an effort to win the series, as they are up 3-2 in that one. Exciting stuff. Gotta love the playoffs, folks. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of them, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Well, let's shift gears right now, folks, and invite our guest for today's show. He is a USA Today NFL columnist and a great friend of the show, Jared Bell. How you doing, Jared? Welcome to the show.
Oh, pretty good, Al. What's happening?
Nothing much, my brother. Well, let's just dive right into this. Of course, the draft just wrapping up. I want to keep it a kind of a local feel to start off our convo. I want to ask you, what did you think of the Detroit Lions draft? And if you had to grade it, what would you give the Lions in the draft?
You know what? I hate giving grades because, you know, you look at these college players and they're making the transition to go to the next level. Some guys are going to fit in some places better than others just based on all types of circumstances. I will say this, though. You know, the Lions needed to address a couple of needs, and I think they did a good job in getting a couple good prospects that, if they pan out, will be good for them. Talking about Ebron, the tight end. I mean, you put him with Pettigrew, and now all of a sudden you've got the potential to add a totally different dimension to your offense. I mean, I like that. But you look at them and you say, okay, they've got a lot of firepower, obviously, in a lot of different areas with Megatron and Reggie Bush. But now you start talking about the two tight end possibilities, and that's something that might be difficult for teams to prepare for. So right. I like what they did there.
Well, I got to ask you, Jared, because looking at, like you said, you talk about the Lions' needs. And for me, a glaring need that stood out was that secondary. That secondary for the Detroit Lions that gave up so many points last year that really needed a lot of help. It really puzzled me because you signed Brandon Pettigrew to a 4-year extension, who's a tight end. And Joseph Fourier had an unbelievable rookie campaign, a lot of promise in that area for that tight end position. Why go take another tight end in the first round when your secondary can't stop anybody?
Yeah, I get you there. It was probably one of those things, and I'm sure that that's how they addressed it, taking the best player available,
right,
if you will. So, yeah, that's a bit puzzling just on the surface. But, you know, sometimes you've got to just kind of go with the player who could turn out to be a star player. So Ebron can be better than either of those other guys you mentioned at tight end. And, you know, you'll have options to be able to do things with those other guys, mm-hmm. perhaps move one of them if you can.
Now, Jared, I gotta ask you this too, because I'm sensing now, you know, especially with the pick of Eric Ebron, who, you know, looking at his, you know, just kind of his tape and reel, and looking at kind of his stats last year with North Carolina, looks to be a solid pick. He's very athletic, has great hands. Matthew Stafford has a lot of weapons now, from Megatron to Golden Tate to you got Joik Bell and Reggie Bush in the backfield. I mean, you got a lot of weapons on that offense now, and I'm sensing that there's a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford to perform now, and he has no excuse this year, right?
No question. There's been a lot of pressure on him all along, but I think when you start talking about having, you know, a new head coach in Jim Caldwell, whose track record with quarterbacks has been pretty good, and, you know, Caldwell was the guy who got Joe Flacco to flip to another level,
right,
in Baltimore Super Bowl run. Peyton Manning swears by Jim Caldwell, and the offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi is the other guy in this equation too. But I think the same with Stafford, and you know, Al, you've been watching him. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he'll do something that's pretty amazing, and you know that he has the physical tools that can get almost anything done when it comes to throwing the football. But you always wonder about his mechanics and the consistency of his mechanics. And the other thing, quite frankly, is really going to be how he not only buys in, because I don't think that the coaches in the past, Scott Linehan, the former coordinator for one, or Jim Schwartz, I don't think that they looked at Matt Stafford and said, "Hell, you play with bad poor mechanics." No, they've been coaching him and trying to coach him. Well, the other part of it is that the player has to buy into it and be consistent. And so we'll see if Caldwell and Lombardi and the new Lions coaching staff is able to get Matt Stafford to play more consistently, because like you said, he's got a lot of weapons. There should be no excuse there. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they'll take some of that pressure off of that defense if you're putting up 35 points a game, right?
I think that's what they're hoping right now, Jared. I tell you that. And yet, like you said, consistency is certainly the key. Now, looking at this whole draft, I'm sure you were glued to the entire coverage of it, being down there and looking at, you know, player by player, round by round. Who in your eyes
somewhat.
Had... Yeah, somewhat. I know, right? It gets a little exhausting. I tell you what, I check out after the second round, to be honest with you, Jared. But for you, I mean, looking at the entire draft, who do you think, which teams really stood out to you and had the best draft? And who would you give the crown for the worst draft? I'm curious.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I really hate to grade them because, you know, everybody kind of looks good.
Right, right.
Coming out of the draft. And I'm not trying to be evasive because there are a couple teams that I like what they did. I like what Atlanta did in terms of drafting Jake Matthews, the tackle, and then Rashid Hageman, the defensive lineman, as it relates to their whole mission to become tougher in the trenches. So it's kind of an extension of what they've done so far in the offseason. So I like what they did. But as far as really outstanding drafts, I mean, you look at San Francisco. They moved up and down the board. They acquired a veteran receiver in Stevie Johnson on day two of the draft. They got Carlos Hyde, who I think is the best running back in this rookie pool right now. Mm-hmm. They got Chris Boylan, the guy from Wisconsin. So I think that the 49ers did some pretty impressive stuff with their draft. And I think Oakland had a good draft. And, you know, the Raiders, for a number of years, even with new GM Reggie McKenzie, following, you know, Al Davis and how he operated, really had an unrated draft this time. I don't think they took as many chances this time. And, you start with their top two picks, Khalil Mack, the linebacker from Buffalo.
Love him.
They got him at fifth. They got him fifth overall. And, that's a big-time player. Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State, was your second-round pick. That could be their future guy. I mean, you take him at that point in the draft, and you surely expect that you'll grow with him. So
right.
I like what the Raiders did in terms of getting some impact players. Now let's see if they pan out. That's why I hesitate when you say, well, did they have a good draft? Well, we'll see. But on paper right now, looks good.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true, Jared. I mean, you never know how these players are going to pan out. I mean, we're just looking at stats from college, and we all know the level from college to the NFL is a big leap, and many fail and many succeed. So we'll see.
Yeah, and St. Louis. Let's add St. Louis.
I got
a lot of attention from Michael Sam, but they got two pretty good players in the first round in Greg Robinson and Aaron Donald. Robinson, the tackle from Auburn. Donald, the defensive tackle from Pitt, who some people think was the best defensive tackle in the draft. He certainly, his draft status reflected that. But you add him to an already deep defensive line for the Rams, and whoa, look out.
Yeah, I think there's no question the Rams certainly have the best defensive line in the league right now. Impressive stuff. Now, of course, I got to ask you about this, Jared. Johnny Football, he's been talked about day in and day out here on this show and throughout the entire nation. Were you shocked that Johnny Football fell so low and got drafted by the Cleveland Browns?
Good question. I was a little surprised that he went where he did in the draft. Not surprised that he went to the Browns, because when you went into the draft, you could look at a half dozen teams and say, hey, they were going to be in the market for a quarterback. The Browns were one. You know, the Browns were at number four as well, so they didn't take him there where a lot of people thought they would take him. So not surprised with the match of where he went. Mm-hmm. But to see him last into the 22nd pick, that was a bit surprising, because teams need quarterbacks, and you thought there might be some movement with teams moving up. But, he probably went about where some people thought he belonged to go. But I think he's a guy that one of these days we could say, boy, they did the Aaron Rodgers thing, and they should have taken him a lot higher because of his playmaking ability. But on the other hand, hey, maybe he'll end up being a flop, because I'm still not convinced that he'll be able to translate the playmaking ability that he had in college to the NFL level, and whether or not he'll last, physically, and all of these things have to play out. In addition to the coaching and the system and the support that he'll have around him, we'll see how all of that goes. But let me just say this, Al, about quarterbacks in general. Mm. We heard a lot of hype about these quarterbacks coming into this draft, and not just the top three or four, but we heard a lot of talk in the weeks leading up to the draft that you could take a guy in the second, third, fourth round and maybe build with some of those kind of guys, because it was a deep quarterback class. I think that class was overhyped, and I think that the draft kind of reflected that in terms of where some of these guys went. Once you got to day three, you started seeing some of those guys go off the board that had been projected to go a lot higher.
So you felt as though the quarterback draft class was a little overrated this year?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Definitely.
About that. And, maybe you could start at the top with Blake Bortles and say that about Bridgewater and Manziel. We'll see how it all shakes down. But I think we all knew going in that this was not a draft that had Andrew Luck and RG3 in it. And
right.
So where they go from here, we'll see.
You know, Jared, something that really rubbed me the wrong way when I read about this. Johnny Manziel was told to, quote, act like a backup, end quote, by Browns owner Jimmy Haslam, sort of knocking down any notion that the highly touted QB will soar past, of course, the former Spartan quarterback, Brian Hoyer. Is this another case of an owner sticking his nose in where it shouldn't be? What did you think of those comments? Act like a backup, really?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Especially when you consider, Johnny Manziel's persona, his presence, his name identification, people know him. So to act like a backup is really kind of a question of taking something a bit out of context. But I think he was trying to actually, lower the expectations, if you will. I don't know if that statement was meant so much at Manziel as it was to the people around him and the team around him and trying to lower their expectations. But I think it was the wrong thing. I think you get a guy like that and you say, hey, let him come in and let's see how he stacks up. Let him compete for the job and go from there. And remember, Brian Hoyer, for as good as he looked in those games last year, what was it, three games?
Yeah, just three games.
Last year.
Yeah.
He's coming off an injury, so it's not like you're talking about an established quarterback there that you're getting a rookie to come in and compete with.
Right, that is so true. Interesting to see how that whole fiasco pans out. Exciting stuff, though. Exciting stuff. All right, Jared, before I let you leave, of course, we talked yesterday, and you have some thoughts on this whole, of course, Donald Sterling and his comments, his racist comments that really hit the fan, reported by TMZ Sports, and his comments directed toward Magic Johnson. Magic, of course, coming out and sitting down with Anderson Cooper yesterday. And you actually were classmates with Irv and Magic Johnson. What do you think of this whole thing?
Yeah, I'll tell you where it really hit home with me is, obviously, as it hit home with a lot of people, just the despicable And kind of as this whole thing has transpired, you know, there's been one comment after another. You know, I mean, that's appalling. But it kind of hit me on a personal level, because when he says that, you know, Magic Johnson has not contributed much to the African-American community, and what has he done for black people and things like that, it just takes it to another level. And so, you know, from a personal standpoint, Al, it struck me because I remember Magic. I went to school with him, okay? And I very vividly remember back in the 80s when I was in Dallas, and he was, you know, I was working in radio at the time, and he'd come to Dallas with the Lakers. And there, I did a number of one-on-one interviews with him. And before we could ever get into the situation of doing an interview, the thing that Magic would always want to talk to me about was my career. And what were you doing to develop your career? What are you doing now to get ready to go to another level? Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. How much money are you making? Who are you working with? I mean, all of these things, when you're talking about a superstar athlete just dealing with a reporter, it's pretty wow. amazing that you would get that kind of level of interest. And so Magic was always just an inspiration to me, not only for what he was doing as an athlete, but what he was doing, you know, in terms of trying to connect with just me, a lowly reporter coming up in the 80s. So I thought about that a bit over the past couple of days, no question.
Wow, that is great stuff. That says a lot about the character of that is Magic Johnson. I think, like you said, I mean, it's just Donald Sterling just seems like a guy who's just really delusional, to say the least. And I just really hope the story gets.
I think we know that.
Yeah,
but you know what, Al? So the reason why I wanted to mention that too is just because, you know, people may not know things like that. I mean, right. we know some of the things that Magic has done publicly through his foundation, and obviously as a symbol for dealing with HIV. I mean, with the situation that he went through, I mean, he just kind of got thrust in that role and took it and tried to make it as positive as he could for his situation and to help others. So you can't take that away from him. I mean, obviously, no one would want to be in that situation where you're dealing with that, but you look at, you know, the manner in which he tried to handle it and tried to make it as positive of a thing as he could. You got to kind of say, hey, that's how you'd want to do it if you're dealing with this. But like I said, from a personal standpoint, just tremendous amount of respect and admiration and drew a lot of inspiration from him over the years.
Gotta love that. Oh, that's such a great thing. And I'm glad you shared that with our audience, Jared. Thank you so much, man. Hey, Jared, we got to keep in touch. What are you up to now, man, now that the draft is over?
I'm actually about to head to Bristol, Connecticut. I got to do ESPN in the next couple of days. And I'm on the rotation for ESPN's NFL Insider Show. So I'll be on there for the next couple of days. And then there'll be a Redskins mini camp. And then next week, we've got owners' meetings in Atlanta.
Wow.
Stuff never ends, man.
It never stops, man. The always busy, the man, Jared Bell, USA Today NFL columnist, and of course, ESPN contributor. Jared, hey, thanks a lot for joining me today. We'll be in touch.
Okay, Al. Take care, man.
All right. Jared Bell, gotta love that. A great story, too. I mean, like he said, I mean, everybody knows, especially in the black community. I mean, Donald Sterling's comments, totally ludicrous when it talks about the impact that Magic Johnson has had in various urban and African-American communities everywhere across the nation. And I'm glad that Jared shared that story to talk about just kind of the person that Magic is. I tell you, I don't think that anybody really took a lot of heed into what Donald Sterling said about Magic. But for those that have their doubts, I'm sure they're quickly put to bed. All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll kick off our Barbershop Wednesday segment as the Big Ten proposed a stipend, folks, an interesting stipend. Of course, it happened back in 2011, but the talks have, you know, sort of hit the fan once again. We'll break it down and talk about it after the break. Don't go anywhere. Current sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to current sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. Gentlemen, happy Wednesday. Happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday. So much to talk about, Al. It's incredible. When it comes to summertime, you think, you have football off season, you've got a lot of off season stuff. The NBA playoffs are coming to an end, the NHL playoffs are coming to an end. But it just seems like there's just so much to talk about day by day by day. I wonder what July's going
to
be like.
It's crazy. It's been a crazy month, to say the least, already. It's only the 14th. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to dive into some of these topics. So, Alex said, it's for, seemingly the off season, because we're getting there.
We're getting there.
There's only a few teams left in the NBA and NHL. There are just a lot of stories, even that don't have to deal with games that are being played right now.
Right.
We're heading.
Very true.
Fast to that year-long sports cycle.
It's here. It definitely is. Well, let's dive right into it, guys. Our barbershop Wednesday topic for the day, as we talked about at the beginning of today's show. Interesting stuff, because Big Ten commissioner, if you remember, back in 2011, Jim Delaney proposed a $2,000 stipend on top of scholarships to help college athletes pay fully for school back during that year in 2011. And the cost of attendance, you hear that brought up many times throughout this discussion. It continued yesterday to possibly enforce that stipend on top of, again, the scholarships that student athletes already get to help pay fully for college. We read a quote from Penn State athletic director Dave Joyner. Again, this is from a piece written by Joe Rexroad, a great reporter, and he always comes on WKAR to express his views. But he's down there in Chicago, and had a quote from Penn State AD Dave Joyner, who said, quote, "That's the way the world works, I guess. How long did it take us to get Obamacare? No judgment intended. I'm just saying it's a long time. I'm not saying this is exactly as complex as that, but it's pretty complex." Interesting stuff, guys, because these talks certainly took up a lot of time yesterday, and the estimated annual costs are from $500,000 to $1 million annually per school. And, that explains why Delaney's initial proposal was shot down by a 351 school Division I, made up of mostly of schools with resources far shy of Big Ten levels. But it was shot down initially, and explains why the Power Five leagues have pursued, this again, which is expected to be approved by the NCAA in August. This really is a game changer for me, guys, because it now opens the door for, again, this discussion of college athletes getting paid at the end of the day. Let's just be honest here. And, I think it opens a can of worms that can be explained in various different discussions here, because, you talk about this $500,000to $1 million annually per school. And of course, the initial question that's brought up is, can each Big Ten school afford this? I think it's no question that a Big Ten school like a Michigan State University can afford this. No doubt about it. I mean, Mark Hollis came out yesterday and said that, yeah, we can definitely afford it. I can't speak on any of the other schools. And, you talk about the cost of attendance. The cost of attendance fluctuates, though, because the cost of attendance at Michigan State is certainly going to be different from that of another Big Ten school. It may be close, but it may not be exactly what that is. And that is what determines how much these student athletes receive annually. That, again, opens up another can of worms, because I think that when you talk about that, you may have one school saying that, oh, Michigan State student athletes get paid so-and-so, while we're only getting paid this much. There's a lot of debate and discussion that can be ingrained into this whole topic, and I think that there's going to be no clear-cut example and no clear-cut method to please everybody here. And that's what I think, first of all, what needs to be said if this gets approved. And it looks like, though, guys, we're headed down this road where student-athletes are eventually going to get something. It's been talked about for day in and day out, and the Big Ten, with this discussion being on the table, and it's expected, quote-unquote, expected to be approved in August. Will it? I don't know. But it is certainly headed down that road. It opens up a huge can right now that is certainly going to be debated about from time in and time out. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Well, I think the biggest thing, if you're looking at it, if we were to say hypothetically that it goes into place, is that it would have to be even across the board.
It has
Or like you said, I mean, then recruiting is going to become even more of a bidding war than it already is, because let's say I'm a top flight football recruit. I could go to Ohio State and get $8,000 on top of my scholarship, or I could go to Northwestern, probably get a better education, but only get $1,500 or something like that.
Right.
If that kind of discrepancy exists, I feel like amateur sports in general is just out the window.
I
mean, you're just hiring people and offering them money to come play football for you, which, again, depending on how you look at college sports, is how it already works anyway. But yeah, when you are, you know, legitimately putting a dollar amount on it, mm-hmm. I mean, any illusion is lost. So I think
so. It's, all right now, it has to be even.
It has to be even if board. It's just even across the conference. Let's right. say you want to be a Big Ten player. This is how much you get. SEC player, that's how much you get. Even though that, again, would cause an imbalance of power, even though there already is one. So it's just, I don't know. It's tough. They got a lot to work out before it goes into effect, because any sort of discrepancy would create a massive, massive problem.
Yeah. Alex, what are your thoughts on
yeah.
that?
Yeah. And then the amount is, what I'm wondering is, see, and I agree with Matt, how much what can you actually get for this amount of money? Is this going directly to... is this for the job that you would have had if you could have the time to work another job at school? Is this going for clothes? What exactly is this money going to? I think that's something that...
So how they allocated
yeah,
is another
and,
question.
And if there's a way to monitor it, because for all we know, people could be pocketing this money and going on vacation and going out and traveling.
Right, that's another thing.
So for yeah. what I'm wondering is, there has to be a way to monitor the money at the same time. And if it's strictly check and there's a paper trail behind it, you might be lucky. But then you're ensuring that athletes have bank accounts, and then you're ensuring that the athletes are making sure it's an MSU licensed vendor if you're buying something. Because I know for each university, then there are more rules when it comes to vendors and licensing. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole other animal, and I don't even know if the Big Ten has realized that there are a lot of other little details they're going to have to hammer out with this.
There are, because like you said, I mean, you talk about handing – you know, possibly, you know, $1,500, $2,000 in the hand of a student athlete. And who knows? That's a lot of money. Who knows what they're doing with that money? I know when I was in school, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I didn't have a lot of grants, if you will. I had a lot of loans, and I would get that refund check, and I would use that refund check for whatever I wanted to
yeah,
use it
like,
for.
I don't think you know? These kids are going to go out and buy books
exactly.
with their $10,000, especially when you put it in the hands of someone who, you know, by all accounts, I mean, the whole stereotype with athletes is that they're, you know, the big man on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're giving them, here's $2,000 of spending money. We're going to close our eyes, put our heads in the sand, and hope we don't find out how you spend it.
It's impossible, right? Unless maybe you create a debit card
right,
where you can only use it.
That's the only thing I can think of, yeah.
Yeah, if you give them a card where they can only use it on food or rent or something like that, that's the only way I see. Now, I do see a certain need for it in a way, because I remember we talked about this. I talked to a few student athletes who wanted to speak on anonymity, if you will, and they told me that not all their medical bills get paid for. So if they go out there and get hurt and they go to a hospital, MSU, they may foot the bill on half of it, but the rest of it's on them. And I think that's absolutely crazy to me. I had no idea that's the way it works when it comes to some student athletes, but that's the way the game is in certain schools and in certain regards. So I do see a need there, but to monitor it, again, you're putting $2,000, $1,500 or so in the hands of a college student. And Miss, you know, we all know how party all the time Michigan State is. I mean, who knows what they're using that money for? It's impossible to try to regulate it. You can only regulate it to a degree. And again, this opens the door. It opens a can of worms for a lot of different things that have to be hammered out before this comes in submit and just done. So we'll see. We'll see. Any final thoughts on it, guys?
My final thought is, and you're bringing up the whole grant thing and the loan thing.
Because did you guys ever get a refund check? In college, at MSU?
I never got one.
You never got... Oh, I used to... Okay, well, I can only speak on this. Aaron, did you ever get a refund? This one, ask Aaron. Yeah, Aaron got a refund check. And to be honest with me now, when we got those refund checks, because mine one semester looked really, really nice, okay? I had a lot of loans coming in, which I'm still paying off. That's another subject. But I had a lot of loans coming in, and I would get this refund check, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. In a big lump sum, I've just got, like, what, $1,500? I'm not going straight and buying this on books, okay? I'm going out, you know, I may go out to dinner or something like that, or I'm doing other stuff. Is that accurate, Aaron? Yeah, it's 100% accurate. I mean, so we'll see. It's dangerous. Put it that way, it's dangerous.
It's a slippery slope.
It is.
And it goes a lot faster when you have $2,000.
Right, it definitely does.
It's
okay.
Dangerous.
My final thought is, this is just the way the world is today. I mean, you see amendments left and right and law changes. This is just one of those things that
And then the unionization of Northwestern,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
yeah, it's how it is. That's exactly how it is. And I believe the Northwestern AD also had some things to say about it. But we want to get your thoughts on it. What do you think about the $2,000 stipend if it passes? What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, Stan Van Gundy, folks, I almost threw a party yesterday. Stan Van Gundy is now the head coach of the Detroit Pistons and is in charge of all basketball operations. I'm elated. I want to know if you are. 517-355-9527. We'll talk about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports comes back in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. And, you know, speaking of Northwestern, before we hit the break, guys, Northwestern Athletic Director Jim Phillips, he does not like the idea of unions in college athletics and said so when Northwestern football players attempted to form one. Phillips does, however, want to see athletes have an actual voting voice in NCAA matters in the future, saying, quote, "We don't need student athletes in an advisory role. We need them in a voting role. And that's something that we have to do moving forward. Let's get them in position where they're allowed to vote and make a difference. They're living the experience. Why wouldn't we listen to them?" End quote. Interesting stuff. Just something to bite on and chew on. We have a caller right now. Welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm doing good. This is Camille. I just wanted to say something about the stipend.
Yeah, go ahead, Camille.
I just wanted to say my thoughts on it is that the Big Ten and the NCAA make so much money off the college athletes. I think that whatever they do with the $2,000, I think it really should be up to them. Because to me, like, the money that's, like, coming in, like $2,000 or $5,000, that's like a drop in the bucket compared to, like, the amount that's really being received for their athleticism.
Right, right. So you are you on the side of things that say that college athletes should get paid in general?
Yes, definitely. And gotcha. I don't even think that the money should go toward books or anything like that. I think that all should still be a part of the scholarship or the school agreement.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, I definitely see that angle of things, too. Hey, thanks a lot, Camille, for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and again, it all boils down, guys, to whether or not college athletes should get paid, because that's going to be a discussion. If you give them a stipend, if you give them a taste of the dinner, they're going to want the whole thing, okay? And that's just how it is. And it's going to open the can for a lot of debates, and it's going to be interesting to see if it pans out in August. Right now, it's expected to pass. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of media outlets and from a lot of people that are at these conferences in Chicago right now. It's expected to pass. If it does, boy, oh boy, will we have an interesting discussion on this show. All right, guys. Well, Stan Van Gundy, I'm excited. I hope all of you are. Stan Van Gundy has been hired as the Detroit Pistons' new coach and is also in charge of he becomes the president of basketball operations for the Detroit Pistons. Of course, an official announcement was made earlier this morning, and there is expected to be a press conference on Thursday, tomorrow, addressing everything. Exciting stuff. We talked about it as it broke here yesterday, right on the show. I think we're all in agreement that this was a great move for the Pistons. I personally am shocked. I was shocked when diving into deeper about this story, seeing as though the Golden State Warriors, they established Van Gundy as their top target. Their top target in this entire thing. It amazed me that Van Gundy chose the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, who have been god-awful for I don't know how long, over the Golden State Warriors, which I think is a sexier job. You talk about the Warriors, who I think are, again, they're a few pieces away, you know, maybe a big man away from legitimately becoming a championship contender. As for the Detroit Pistons, they certainly have a lot of wrinkles to iron out, to say the least, on this ball club. But man, oh man, for Stan to turn down the Warriors and come to Detroit, that's a good look for Detroit, guys. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted about that.
It's great. And the only thing, well, there's a couple things I could say that might be the reasons he would choose Detroit over Golden State.
What are they? I'm curious.
Number one.
Okay.
Golden State is in the Western Conference. Detroit is in the Eastern Conference. You can win 55 games in the West and miss the playoffs. You can win 38 and get like a 7 seed in the East. I mean,
so a lot of margin for error here.
Exactly. He has so much room to kind of try things out. Whereas with the Warriors, I mean, Mark Jackson just got fired for losing in Game 7 of the first round.
Right.
I mean, taking the Clippers to the brink and losing. I mean, they were a play away from winning that series. So there's no room for error in Golden State. Plus, they've already traded away next year's draft pick, 2017 first-round draft pick. I mean, they are who they are from that Iguodala trade. They don't have a lot of flexibility, whereas Detroit, I mean, things are so bad. He can make the roster moves he wants, and they're not going to raise a lot of eyebrows just because people are so ready for change, ready to see a new chapter,
yeah,
all that
true.
Jazz.
That is true, yeah.
So you have the Warriors, who kind of are what they are for the future. The Pistons are kind of an enigma. Plus, you have Andre Drummond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a huge part of this. He's that franchise center. He is Dwight Howard, you know, 10 years younger. So I think Stan sees that he's kind of had success in a similar situation when he took the Magic to the finals. He knows he can build a roster around a dominant center.
Right.
And I think he's excited to do that. Plus, they offered him a heck of a lot of money.
I was just about to say that. I wonder how much Golden State offered.
And the GM.
And the GM, yeah.
Because, I mean, we all remember the Bill Parcells quote about cooking a meal and not being able to buy the groceries.
Right.
Well, now he gets to do the whole thing. He gets to make a meal with his groceries. You know, he gets to pick the guys he wants on the team and then put them out there in the rotation. So I think the kind of the bit of total control, it's got to be appealing. Plus, I mean, money talks.
Yeah, it does. That's what I'm wondering. I haven't seen any figures. I don't know if you guys have, but I haven't seen any figures as to how much Golden State offered him. But, I mean, that's a heck of a deal. When you're talking about $35 million, 5 years, and he gets to do what he wants. He's got the complete control of he's got the keys to the car right now. He can do whatever he wants with it. And that's great. It's a great situation for him. I'm glad Stan Van is just back in the confines of the NBA as well, because I think he's a great, great personality, a great guy, and a great basketball mind to have in the league. Alex, what are your thoughts?
The one concern I have is the guy can't win in the playoffs. And that for me is a big thing, because when you're looking at a typical Pistons culture who lost in the playoffs for many years, that for me is a big concern. And a lot of my buddies who I've talked to about this hiring, they all worry the same thing. Is I'm sure in the short term it's a great hire, and temporarily, and from what's on the board and choosing the Pistons over Golden State, great. But as a long-term decision, I'm not sure from a coaching standpoint. From a general manager standpoint or an operational standpoint, I like it because this is something, like I discussed yesterday, coaches that are also operating typically do well. I don't know what you guys think about that. That for me is my big concern when it comes to Stan.
Well, for me, you know, when I talk about, you know, when you talk about success in the playoffs and success in the NBA, I really believe that it's all about the hand that you're dealt. You know, Charles Barkley said it very eloquently yesterday, which I definitely agree with him. You know, about the, I don't know if you guys saw last night's game, the Thunder and the Clippers game and the foul, you know, whether you want to call it a foul or not, and where the ball went out of bounds and if it went off Reggie Jackson or Matt Barnes. But, you know, he talked about, because Doc Rivers took the podium, who's the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Doc Rivers took the podium, was very upset with the call and whatnot, and Charles Barkley said, hey, at the end of the day, coaches can only do so much. It's up to the players to go out there and get the job done. And it was a complete collapse last night for the Clippers, if you saw, as Chris Paul. I don't know. That's the worst I've seen Chris Paul in the clutch. I've never seen him just give away a game like that. But at the end of the day, it's about the players. And the players have to go out there and do the job. I think in Van Gundy's tenure, you know, when you go back to the Magic, which he had a lot of success with the Orlando Magic, and them coming so close and just falling short and not getting the job done, that can't be placed all on the shoulders of Stan Van Gundy. There were a lot of things in play during situations with the Magic, when he was with the Heat. I mean, you have to be given the personnel to go out there and win games. I think that at the end of the day, you know, Stan, even though he did bump heads with Dwight, that was a big headline that we saw a lot. But you got to be given the right personnel for you to compete and win a championship. So I won't put that on any coach when it comes to success in the playoffs. Stan now has the keys to the car. He can do whatever he wants. He can bring in those players that he feels will be the right fit, which I definitely trust his basketball judgment. He can bring in those players that he feels as though can make a championship run. And I think when it comes down to the playoffs, I think he'll be fine. And we haven't seen it yet because we have to give that discussion when the Pistons make the playoffs. But when they do, which I think they will, whether it be next year or the year after that, they will be fine under Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried at all because I don't think Pistons fans will be mad if he loses in the playoffs because he made the playoffs.
Yeah,
I
mean, we haven't said that in a while here.
Exactly. I mean, how much more excited are you to hear that the Pistons hired Stan Van Gundy than you were when they hired Lawrence Frank or John Kuster or Michael Curry? I mean, this is a name. He actually carries some weight. He's got some experience. I mean, you look at the roster that he took to the finals in Orlando. He had Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
...
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know,
exactly.
He made Hedo Turkoglu a player. Hedo Turkoglu, he looks 50 years old now. I mean, and this is what, 4 years removed? I mean, he is a different player. Dwight Howard, obviously still a great player, but we've learned that his emotions and his, kind of off the court relationships with franchises, maybe that wasn't all Stan Van Gundy's fault because he didn't seem to work out well in LA either. He made Jameer Nelson have a career year, gave him his only All-Star appearance.
Yeah, Jameer
Ryan
talks
Anderson,
very highly of
him.
Yeah.
Ryan Anderson signs a huge free agent deal all because of Stan Van Gundy, because he knew how to develop him and use him in an offense that made him an attractive option for other teams. I think he's going to do wonders for this team. I think it looks like a roster that's just ready to be led, and I think he's the guy. I mean, they have enough young pieces in place. Maybe he gets Josh Smith to, I don't know, stop shooting threes. He'll be the first guy ever to do it, but maybe he can
Mission
do
impossible,
it.
Baby.
It really is mission impossible. Oh. But I'm glad that they made this hire. I think Stan Van Gundy can succeed. Now, I've read in a couple reports that he's looking to maybe reunite with Otis Smith, who was the GM in Orlando, to kind of share the GM duties, just because even though a lot of coaches may succeed as doing the double duty, it's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of work, man.
It's a lot of responsibility. But the other big thing, I'm really glad they did this before the draft.
Right.
Because you have your guy in place, he kind of has his vision, and then he can go into the draft and pick a player for that vision, not just, you know, you have a placeholder in there who's making the draft selection, kind of shaping the roster of the team before you get the guy in who's going to actually make it happen on the court.
Right, and that's another thing I was nervous about because the Pistons were taking a lot of criticism from many people out there, many fans out there, because, I mean, we're wondering what in the world is taking them so long to make a decision here. Like you said, the draft is right around the corner. You would like to have your head coach at least in place to have some input into who to draft. But, you know, finally they did it. They got a steal here, guys. At the end of the day, they got a huge steal here. Again, I'm going back. I mean, looking at that Golden State job, I'm not sure the average guy probably would have taken that Golden State job, without a doubt.
Get the weather.
Without a gorgeous weather.
Steph Curry shoot threes.
Steph Curry. I mean, you got a championship contending team that's right around the corner from, you know, to really knocking on the door of that notion. I'm very surprised. It's great for the city of Detroit. I can't wait. You get to see his countless facial expressions each and every game on the sideline.
That mustache.
The mustache. Oh, it's good stuff.
I think a lot of the things that Matt said were valid, and we only have a minute left, so I can't really get into this, but I'm not convinced that the Pistons have the right pieces in place to lead guys. We were talking 2 months ago that they should trade away the whole team.
Yeah, but
this
he's
is
a
the
guy
right
who can
move.
Actually do it.
Right, this is a guy who can revamp the entire roster, put certain pieces in place for the Pistons to be successful, Alex. You got to be encouraged by this move. It's better than what we had
it's
last
encouraging,
year.
But I don't think this team's ready to be led, guys. I mean, maybe Josh Smith will shoot threes. I don't know.
He's the ultimate critic, Alex Sharg, ladies and gents. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Again, as always, take care, have one fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.